The Brad Sessmatt Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
We will have Larry Fitzgerald Sr. on today's show. Usually, Fitz Sr. and I sit next to one another at Cardinal games, just the way the seating chart goes. And we talk about the games that are going on, and we see his son catch balls back in the day when there were, I think it was Max Hall one time sitting next to Fitz Sr. And there's a ball, because Max, no offense to Max, but Max could not hit the 602 or the 480 area code. And so he left Fitz completely exposed, like ribs open. And Fitz Sr. just said, "Oh my gosh," because he could see this DB like ready to just break every one of Larry's ribs. So he's a dad, it's fine. But in all seriousness, Larry Fitzgerald Sr. has been covering Minnesota and Minneapolis. He lives in Minneapolis. He's been covering the Minneapolis sports scene since the late 70s. Larry Fitzgerald Sr. has seen a lot. And what has he seen with the murder of George Floyd 8 days ago and the city being burned to the ground and people being brought in that aren't real citizens? And I think, too, on a sports league side of things, what has he seen out of the NFL? There's been tremendous backlash here in the last couple of days towards the league based off the Colin Kaepernick story of taking a knee. And I want his view on the NBA. We're seeing where Monty Williams today at 4 p.m. Monty Williams is going to talk publicly today. He wrote a very eloquent letter over the weekend. I'm glad that he's going to be out there to speak on it. He'll be doing a Zoom today. Herm Edwards had something interesting today on social media that we'll get to here in a few minutes. So that is straight ahead on today's show. We're brought to you by Sagicor Now. Protect what matters most, and that is with your life insurance. When was the last time you took a good, long, hard look? I've been telling you about life insurance and Sagicor for many years now, and it's getting things handled, getting things taken care of. And life insurance is one of those. If you didn't come home tonight, would everything be handled the way that you would want? Colleges and schooling and life in general and just them without you. Go to Sagicor Now, get your free quote. That's at Sagicor Now. We appreciate Sagicor and their support. Eric is with us. What is what's new on your end?
Oh, I'm just trying to wrap my head around everything that's happened over the last 8 days, trying to, as Seth Joyner told you yesterday, trying to process things, Brad, before speaking, because tensions are high and it's always wise to think before you speak. So it's just been, you know, I'm not reinventing the wheel here. It's been a really odd. It's been a really odd 2020. Let's just be honest.
Yeah. Has it been overwhelming for you?
It has been. It has been overwhelming.
I think wherever I go, so yesterday afternoon I went to, there's a Monday group that gets together in downtown Chandler. It's over DC Steakhouse, and it's just a bunch of business people. And sometimes I'll bop in there because I like to visit and kind of get a heartbeat. These are longtime residents of Chandler. And most of them yesterday were just going about their business. But when I said, "How are you doing?" They're just, "This is just an odd time. It's just a really odd time." And then I left there and went over to downtown Gilbert, went to Culinary Dropout, met up with Charlie Regal, our good friend, and Mark Tucker. Tuck, of course, just put in the National Football Foundation Frank Cush Award winner honor, and Phoenix Fireman. We were there for 3 hours, Eric, last night, 3.5 hours. We were out past curfew. And Tuck and I are walking to our vehicles, and a police cruiser pulls up. It's past curfew.
But it's okay because you were at a restaurant, and it's correct. Okay to be at a restaurant past 8 o'clock.
Correct. But they did stop for a moment, and I was not really quite sure where we were going to go on this. And, you know, Mark is a big black man. I'm a big white man, and we're just sitting there talking about stuff. So it was no big deal. And they moved on, and we moved on to our vehicles. But in the back of my mind, it was, when they pulled up, it was, what's going to happen here? just for that little itty bitty moment. And I never felt that before. Over dinner, and I what goes on at dinner stays at dinner. But I will say that there was a pretty deep conversation about this and how this is playing such a divisive role. I don't know if you're in the same boat as me. Man, I am getting on less and less on social because it's just so toxic. We used to joke back when we started this in 2012 about how, you know, this was the world's largest sports bar and this is where all content's going to go to and all that stuff. There's no joking anymore. You know, if you put anything up and you're going to have some bot go after you, and then the bot's going to bring on all these other bots. And so you don't really know what's true. You're being harassed if you don't go along with the bots. I find that to be really interesting. And then you just have people that are hit and run artists, and I don't have time to block idiocy. And so I just found myself, and Charlie was talking about it last night too, and so it was not as much Tuck, but Charlie and I were talking about it. But beyond that, we did talk some sports. It was kind of fun. It was kind of, you know, let's just unwind. It was nice to be out in a public setting. You've been a Culinary Dropout in Gilbert before. It's a great place to go just hang out and, you know, grab a drink and just get caught up. But we're talking about what the football season may look like and all that. But I'm sharing this because I want to get back to a little bit of normalcy. I felt like nine days ago, I felt like there was going to be a little bit of, okay, we're turning the corner on this virus. Sports is starting to open back up. Things are going to, you know, turn in the right direction. And then George Floyd happens and people just aren't having it. I mean, people just aren't having it. And you have these moments where you look at it and say, where's the leadership in our country? And then you see that people are trying to lead, but they're being pulled in divisive directions. And then you have people that are just so dug in on whatever their political stance is that they can't see, like, what is happening here. Like, this is supposedly acceptable. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. I try to find the betterment of people, and I'm sitting with someone last night in Mark Tucker who has a lot of race background and experience of things that he has had to go through to get to where he is. He's a fire captain. He drives a big red truck. He coaches high school football for 20 years. And he's had times where, as he put it, and, you know, he'll just be straight, you know, Brad, I'll walk into a place and people look at me as a big black man like I've been shit on, just straight up. That's what I love about him. It's real. It's like Seth yesterday. Seth was getting really emotional yesterday. Mark was getting really emotional last night, like teary.
I think that's good. I mean, I think that it's okay to express yourself if you do it in a constructive way. And sure, both of those guys obviously did it in a constructive way. And then circling back what you said about social media, I was talking with one of my friends who works over at one of the news talk stations, and he was saying, you know, we've been through COVID and all the number of things you're seeing on social media. And then you see what happened 8 days ago. And he's like, oh, by the way, don't forget, this is an election year. So yeah, by the end of the summer, don't go on Facebook, don't go on Twitter, no, don't go on any of your social platforms unless you just want to be overrun by everyone's personal opinion on politics. Yeah. So that's what we have to look forward to in the coming months. So.
Which, you know what? I don't mind the personal opinions. It's when it becomes, you're an idiot and I'm going to block you. I hate you. I resent you. You're stupid. You're dumb because you don't follow what I have because I'm smarter than everybody else in the room.
But that's what social media gives people, Brad. Oh, it gives them that. Them that platform, and they can hide behind their phone or hide behind their laptop and make those opinions and not have to say it face to face. And, you know, if you get blocked or you get unfriended or whatever, you know, it's okay. It's okay with some people.
I see people that I've been friends with for a long, long time that in the last week, I never knew you had that feeling in you. I never knew you had that bone in you. Both positively and negatively, where they've, from my view, negatively and positively, where they're able to express themselves and feel comfortable enough to say, you know what, enough is enough. I'm a young black man in this country. I have overcome this, this, this. I'm in my mid-20s, and I've overcome this, 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 this. And this is why I went out and I protested the other night. A close family friend. And I respect the hell out of him because he couldn't express that. He was afraid to express that in the past. And so it's really interesting to see where it's gone. And I think, you know, Fitch Sr., we're going to have him here in a minute. That story of what's gone on with George Floyd. But I just finished last night. I'm driving home and I'm hearing Eddie Johnson on Sirius doing his NBA radio show. And Eric, he was talking about, I texted him this morning to see if he had a chance to come on or if he'd mind me sharing the story. He's not able to come on today. EJ's great, but EJ was a member of the Suns and they had training camp in Flagstaff. And he gets pulled over because he went into a turn lane without putting on his blinker. Police officer pulls him over, has him get out of the car. Officer calls for backup. Backup comes, and off to the side in the shadows, two officers, guns drawn, because, well, it was a big black man. Like, that was the explanation. Like, you and I cannot relate to that.
No.
You and I can't relate to that. And so, So for EJ to take his platform and to step out and to share stories like that.
Now, is that a Flagstaff thing or is that just a thing?
I don't know.
I mean, this was back in what? It's got to be like the early 80s. 90s, late 80s. Flagstaff was much smaller, probably far more conservative than it is right now. And... that doesn't really matter, but I'm just saying that you know how it works in small towns. Let's just call it like it is.
Sure, sure. In not across America, but in many small towns, yeah, we don't know what that's like. You and I don't know what that's like.
No.
But in sports, when we sit and we have these discussions with athletes, and like last night, just sitting there for 3.5 hours and seeing Mark get emotional on some stuff of what's going on in our country, or like visiting here with Fitz Sr. Momentarily, I think it opens people's eyes. And if people don't want their eyes and ears open, then turn the channel. Not that hard. If you think that everything is okay right now, this is great, probably shouldn't be here. You know, I don't understand how anybody can say that this is acceptable. So to that end, we'll have Larry Fitzgerald Sr. He will be on the other side. That is next. And now, as promised, Larry Fitzgerald Sr. joins us. And I've been talking with several voices here in the Valley. Seth Joyner yesterday had a lot of reaction to what Seth had to say, just living right down the street from Scottsdale Fashion Square and what his emotions were. Today, another voice that I've sat next to at many a Cardinal game. You've heard Larry Fitzgerald Sr. with us many times through the years. He's been covering Minneapolis since the late 70s. Like, is that right, Fitz Sr.? Is that around 77, 78 thereabouts, correct?
No, 78. I moved here to try and become a big fish in a small pond. You know, there are a lot of lakes here. And been working my way in the media business. And I've had a pretty good career. And, you know, 39 Super Bowls. Got a son in the NFL. And, you know, two graduates. So it was a good decision to move here. This is a terrific city. Unfortunately, it has its issues like other cities across the country.
How would you describe the last 8 days for you, not as a journalist, but just as a citizen?
Well, I've been through this before. You know, born and raised in Chicago. I remember vividly when Dr. Martin Luther King was assassinated and watching your community as a child and the reaction by people. Everybody was in pain. Everybody was angry. And then many chose to go out and do things that happened. And unfortunately, We've seen over the years some real unfortunate situations where authority, police, have overwhelmed some innocent black men, and we've seen reaction from community members and from those that were hurt. And we've seen people like Colin Kaepernick, who it affected to the point that he had the courage to basically put his career on the line. And so since this happened, and to be able to witness it myself, I live in that area and raised my family in that area, and to see a black man killed by four Minneapolis police officers, and it was absolutely devastating to watch it. And so every day, there's been this buildup of anger and of frustration, and in many ways despair. And these millennials, these young folks, they're not having it. They've gotten to a point where they've heard all the stories in their lives about peaceful protesting and marching, and many of them have taken that on. But then there are others that are tired of seeing black men killed, and nothing happens. They're not treated the same, and I think that's part of where we're at. I mean, here we're going on now 7-8 days of curfews, military, from the National Guard, that type of thing, having to help the police in both cities try and maintain peace and protect the residents and businesses. Been over 200 businesses either burned or damaged or destroyed here in the Minneapolis, St. Paul area, including a police station, which is unprecedented. And so it's this is just a terrible situation that has erupted. And it's gotten the attention of the nation. I've never seen anything quite like it. And it just seems to be taking on a new level every day.
Larry Fitzgerald, Sr. with us from Minneapolis. Have you walked the streets, or are you staying inside? How have you handled it as a journalist?
Well, as a journalist, I'm smart to recognize, like hopefully everybody else, that we're still in a public health pandemic. The coronavirus is visible or invisible. It's killed, I think it's close to 105,000 people in the United States. And I think a lot of the frustration and anger from many is because they've been pent up. They've tried to go along with the suggestion that has been laid out by the government, by the governors, the city, and staying at home, social distancing, and that type of thing. And then on a holiday, Memorial Day, they saw what happened to George Floyd. I mean, to see it on video is just so overwhelming. And I've been out. I've been in the community all over both cities. And I'm very disappointed at a lot of things that have gone on. I really am. It bothers me. It hurts me. This is my home. And I'm just as disappointed by seeing some of the stuff that's gone on in New York and Chicago, Atlanta, and Memphis, in Louisville, Sacramento. I can go on and on and on. It's going on all over. And remember, it took the murder to get things started in terms of reaction and overreaction. And then, of course, it's been fueled by the president. It's just really unfortunate, and I just feel terrible about it.
You mentioned earlier about Martin Luther King and times then and times now. Is social media, I'm not trying to go too deep on this, but when I talk to people, they'll say, Brad, social media has now become an evil in the middle of all of this, that it is the gasoline that is being out there for everybody to consume. I used to joke that social media was the world's largest sports bar. Twitter is the world's largest sports bar. Well, now it's gone beyond sports. And I'm trying to find a cause, and the cause is the video for sure with George Floyd. But the pent-up anger that has been out there through the years, much like when I saw Rodney King and the rioting in L.A., it's now gone to a new level that we haven't seen, other than it's there for everyone to consume. Am I onto something there? Or is that, you know, Brad, that's pretty shallow. That's pretty inch deep.
Well, I think that's on point. There's no doubt that social media has had a role in this. 1992, when Rodney King was beaten by those police officers, and then the subsequent trial, the police were not, they were acquitted. And I mean, everybody saw what happened. Mm-hmm. But nevertheless, the police were not charged. There was no social media back then, but there is now. And yes, you know, people can get ignited, and some people charge and some people don't charge. But the point is, Minneapolis is the soul of what it is. This community is angry at the consistent bias that has been exhibited by the Minneapolis police against black men and women in this city. And this is not the first time. There have been several other instances over the last 2, 4, 6 years. I can think of 11 cases where black men have been killed by police officers here in Minneapolis, and there's only been one conviction. And so it's very disappointing. And here's another one where George Floyd, to think that somebody called because somebody said somebody had a fake $20 bill or whatever, and to know that a guy had his life taken over $20 allegedly is absolutely unbelievable. It really is. But we all saw it, and so we're seeing the reaction from it that has just taken on an energy that no one could have expected.
A couple other questions for you, and I appreciate your time. And the militia being brought in, these people that are just there to stir things up, have you seen that? Have you witnessed that?
I don't have any idea about any militias. I can tell you there's some people that are here for... And everywhere else across the country, they're not out there to cause damage. They're opportunists. They're in a position masked as protesters. They're waiting and have until it gets dark or when the police go on one block, then they attack behind them. But they're waiting until the late part of the day. And so there's been a pattern. And it's been consistent. And so we're going to try and deal with another day of protests by those that have the meaning and true spirit of why they're protesting and actually bleeding to America. You see what happened, do something about it. That's why they're protesting. But then you have those that are on a mission mentality to destroy, to loot, and to... bring harm. And I hope that the authorities are able to continue to do what they have done. 7,200 people have been arrested. There have been 19 shootings here in the metro area of Minneapolis and St. Paul. And so it's clearly very disturbing. And I live here. I'm ashamed of it. But, yeah. You got to take the good with the bad, unfortunately.
Before I let you go, last question. That is, this is a bigger question for you because you've covered sports for so long. What do you make out of the sports leagues as a whole? The NBA had their racial injustice group that they unveiled over the weekend, and some teams are out there, some individuals are out there. Monty Williams has been very eloquent out here. Doc Rivers out in Los Angeles. Greg Popovich has been very direct towards his criticism of the president. I'm just curious about your view of the sports leagues and how they've handled this, because sports and race is intertwined?
Well, first of all, let's start with the NFL, because they're the biggest and they're the best, most popular. And Commissioner Roger Goodell stepped out and said what he said. It seemed to be very meaningful. But then the first thing that you talked about, social media, it exploded and responded to his reaction to what's going on and the pain that the NFL as a group is feeling through this. And they didn't want to hear it. They really are angry because of what happened with Colin Kaepernick and how the owners basically blackballed him and have said they, you know, we're offended by you taking a knee. But his knee was him speaking to this community, to this nation, to what he feels and what he sees, and his anger and disappointment with nothing being done about it. And so many other athletes, you mentioned Greg Popovich. He's one of my favorite people in the world. I love the man. He speaks to the truth, always has. Michael Jordan, an owner, one of the greatest legends in sports history. He's done the same. Magic Johnson, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. I can go on and on and on. The sports leagues, you know, they're doing what they can do. But the players recognize that when things happen to them as black men, when they're going from work to work with families, that type of thing, they've been in these situations. And when they share those experiences with their teammates who might just happen to be white, who may not experience the same thing, that's why you're seeing so this outpouring from white teammates who feel for their black teammates who have been sharing with them what they witnessed a week ago Monday that happens in the black community.
As always, I appreciate your time and insight. And usually we talk X's and O's and passes the number 11 or sit and watch games. And this is far more serious and far more important. I do appreciate you taking so much time today. Thanks.
Well, thanks for having me. I really appreciate it. You know, I've experienced it myself. I've been arrested. You know, I've raised my children to be prepared and to be submissive if they come across an incident with a police officer, that type of thing, because it's an uncontrollable situation that can get out of hand real fast. And I thank you for the opportunity.
Larry Fitzgerald Sr. with us in Minnesota. Stay safe. Thanks.
Thank you.
So one of the things that I've seen on social media, Eric and I were talking about it earlier, is schools, really on the college end, wanting to show their acknowledgement of what is going on in society. Arizona State has done that, and here now is what Arizona State football put out earlier today. So that was from Arizona State. Now, I understand. I don't necessarily like it, just me. I think everybody on the college space is wondering, how do they go about putting their social media out there to show their disgust, their disdain, their displeasure? And if they don't do it, does that mean that they aren't disgusted? They don't disdain. They're not bothered. So everybody's trying, like yesterday morning, I think it was over the weekend, Eric, there was this, I think maybe it was someone of the SI said, SIDs, sports information directors, are working overtime this weekend on how to craft a message. And yesterday morning in my feed, and this is where I started getting sick of social media, it was like every other basketball coach had something that they had to get put out. And it just felt like it was just being put out.
I mean, I think if for the right reason and done with true, genuine interest, it's okay. But you can kind of see through some of those. And I think that you should clarify, Brad, that came from Herm Edwards' Twitter. That I'm sure it was produced by Arizona State, but that wasn't through the Arizona State football handle. That came from Herm Edwards' actual Twitter account.
And it's fine. It's fine.
I mean, I'm sure ASU helped him produce that.
Oh, they had to. It's not like Herm sitting there saying, let me put a little slide.
Exactly. Right? Yeah, I don't think he's real up to speed on Final Cut. But again, it just goes back to what we talked about earlier. I'm fine if you want to comment on it, but just think before you speak, because there are a lot of voices in the room right now.
There's a lot of voices in the room, and I feel like there are times where in media, all of a sudden, we all have to be doing a lot of this. You know, we got to pat ourselves in the back. Look at how great we were. We donated X, or we did this, and we want to tell everybody. And it always goes back to the best kind of charity is the kind you don't hear about the best. But in this day and age of, man, I am the greatest. And I'm not saying that with Arizona State. I'm not bothered by this. It's fine. But this is popping up all over social with other colleges. And if you feel like you're just keeping up with others versus are you doing this because, you know, is this something that should have been produced a year ago? I don't know. Obviously, right now, the timing is right. And I don't have any, like I said, I don't have anything against Herm. It's well done. It's nicely produced. It's just that there is a lot of this going on right now.
And I think it probably would have been more powerful if it was done just out of the blue as a show of support before everything happened last week in Minneapolis. And I thought it was interesting during your conversation with Fitz Sr. He said, you know, I've talked to my boys about if and when they are pulled over by officers, about how to act and not react. And I think that I just thought that was sad. Like, it did. Smart, but sad. Like,
but I've heard that too.
That is society. I know, but that is I've what we're dealing with. That yes. It shouldn't matter. Yes. Like, it.
But no. It's not. It's not what. It's not what you're dealing with, or I'm dealing with.
Correct.
It's what. Yeah. It's out there in society that people deal with, and so to have these discussions, no matter how uncomfortable. No matter how hard they are, if they're discussions that can help you deal with it, I'll just be flat out. During the break, Iron Man and I are talking about some stuff that he's seen, Jared Nielsen. And it's fine. It's great. The staff here, everybody's wired differently. Some people really need to talk about what's going on, and that's fine. If you're a business owner, you probably, I'm not telling you how to do your business, but you might want to sit with some of your people and just say, how's this impacting you? Because I know in my space, I've talked to all but one, and one of them is pretty upset. And as they should be, there's nothing wrong with that. If you're expecting people just to walk in and do their jobs right now, when you're coming out of a pandemic, and then all of a sudden you have rioting and looting going on across our country. The fact of, I don't think protesting bothers people. It's the rioting and looting. Absolutely. People are smart enough to know. People are smart enough to understand we have a right to protest. If we don't like something, we have the right to protest. But when we see our society just like marching and people that are coming in that aren't from the community, and then the marches turn into ugliness, and ugliness turns into anger, and anger turns into just the pit of your soul that you're carrying around with you. And you run into people that are starting to just shrivel up because you're right. You said it earlier. 2020 has been a rough year. It's been an awful year for a lot of people. 30 million people have lost their jobs. There's still a virus out there. Now you have racial unrest, you have tension, you have anxiety, and you don't know how you're going to pay your rent at the first of the month. You don't know how you're going to accomplish this. You don't know if your kid's going to go back to high school ever again. You don't know if your kid's going to be able to go to college or not. You don't have any idea, and you used to have everything under control 6, 8, 10 months ago, and then all of a sudden, the world went a little crazy. And for me, it's just, get up every day, do the best that I can do. This show is therapy. It's therapy, full disclosure. Be able to sit and visit and put on voices And for those people, it's therapy. And talking with Seth off the air yesterday, talking with Fitz Sr., he's very appreciative to come on the show today. Last night with Mark Tucker, I mean, it's very therapeutic. And now for us, it's time to be salt and light. Go out in the community today and do the best that you can do. If it's sitting in your computer and encouraging someone, encourage someone. Not being preachy here. It's just, let's be better. We're not in Minneapolis. I'm not at Scottsdale Fashion Square. I'm not in downtown. But somebody out there just needs to say, hey, how are you really doing today?
Yeah, no doubt. And I can't imagine if you're, say you're a small business owner and you have a store in downtown Phoenix. Oh. And you were put through the ringer the last 3 months. And like you said, you're barely hanging on.
You applied for PPP and you got rejected. You didn't get the loan. You had to let go of everybody. Yes.
But you see the light. There's a little ray of light as we're sort of making our way out of the pandemic. And then an incident that happens on the other side of the country results in rioters destroying your property. Like what? You know, you're just on the other end.
Yeah.
And then
yes.
You have no control. It didn't happen in Arizona. It didn't happen in downtown Phoenix. It happened in Minneapolis, Minnesota. But the trickle down throughout the entire country is just horrible.
It was a tidal wave.
You're right.
Yesterday afternoon, I'm sitting having a drink with a business owner who's in the business of delivering food. So he's that truck that shows up at 2 a.m. with tomatoes and onions to high-end restaurants, milk, whatever, to make sure that they have all their stuff for the next day. And he's sitting there and he's just kind of holding his head in his hands. And he said, I had 5 restaurants that called me yesterday afternoon and said, yeah, we've got to close early because of this. So they didn't do any business, the restaurant. And of course, he's worried about what's on his truck, that's not going to stay fresh. This morning, I'm visiting with someone who is a president of a very large credit union. And that person gets the phone call of, yeah, we've got to close down this credit union, that credit union, this credit union, that credit union, this credit, that credit union, because these are hot spots. So there's businesses that are being impacted. The person who's going to go down to the credit union can't get into the credit union because of what happened in Minneapolis, which then becomes a tidal wave for our whole country. And so you just visit with people, and all I can say to them is, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. What can I do to help? And that's how I'm trying to get through it. I appreciate you. It's good seeing you. And I think we're done for today. We are self-funded. We have partners that say, we believe in what you do. Please support those partners. Jared Nielsen is our chairman of the board. Make sure you check out our content over at sports360az.com. Have a great day.